It's good to see you all out this morning. We've got a good crowd out here this morning. At least as far as I know, you're good. If you're not, you have to get that right with God. It seems like this whole year, we've been studying in one aspect or another on the topic of why we need to study the Bible. And we're going to do some more of that today. I guess that's one of the reasons that we come together on the first day of the week, is singing and praying and taking the Lord's Supper, but studying the Bible. So we might as well study why we need to study the Bible while we're here. I'm reminded of the story, and I'm sure it's probably made up, but it's a good story and it proves the point, so I'll use it anyway. There was a business, and the owner of that business, of that company, had to leave town. He had to be gone for quite some time. And so he left instructions there for the managers of that business to tell the employees what to do. And while he was away, he sent them letters back about what was going on with the business and about what new things they needed to be doing and what new projects were coming up and what they needed to be doing in that business. And after being gone for about 9 months, he came back home to the business and he found that it was just a disaster when he came back. And so he called all of those managers from all the different divisions of that company together, and he pulled them into his office and he said, "What happened? While I was gone, I sent you letters about the things you were supposed to do. I gave you instructions that you were supposed to follow while I was gone." And they said, "Oh, your letters, we got your letters. We get so excited every time we got one of those letters. We'd call everybody into the lunchroom and we'd show them the letter and we'd talk about what a good boss you were and talk about how great it is to be working for the company that you built and founded. And then we'd look at that letter and we'd be so thankful that we had such a good boss and worked for such a good company. And then we even framed some of those letters and put them up on the wall. And we've got all of the rest of them that we didn't frame and put up on the wall. We've kept it. Joe down there in the mechanic shop, he made this beautiful box. And we put all of those letters in that box and it's so beautiful. And you should see it." And the boss looked at them and said, "What? Did you read any of the letters?" "Oh no, we didn't want to mess up the envelopes. I mean, they had the stamp in it, and we would have torn it if we tried to open it. We didn't even open them." Sometimes that's the way God feels about us. When He's given us our instructions, He's written us letters to tell us what to do, and how to run the church, and how to live our lives as Christians, and we have such a pretty cover on that Bible. We'll even go and buy one. May cost more than the Bible sometimes, and it's pretty, and it's got one of those beautiful Bible verses on it. Maybe something like "The Lord is my shepherd" on there, and it's got a pretty little picture. And we zip that Bible up in that cover, and we set it on the shelf, and we never open it, and we never read it, we never study it, and we never learn what God wants us to do. Can you imagine how that boss would have felt about those employees? And what would he have done to them? Well, he would have fired them. He would have gotten some managers who would do what he told them to do. How do we think God is going to treat us on the day of judgment if we have been as careless with His instruction book as they had been with that boss's letters? Oh, we need to study. We want to look at 8 reasons for study this morning. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. It's unlike any other book that's ever been written. No other book, even those that claim to be inspired by God, are truly inspired by God. They're not like the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If you read that section of Scripture fully, you'll see that there in Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking about the Word of God being Jesus, the Word, because it even refers to Him as Him with whom we have to do. Nothing is hidden from Him. But Jesus, while He was on this earth, taught His disciples, and He taught His apostles, and He told them to command everyone else the things that He had commanded them, and to teach them those things. That's the last thing He said before He left this earth, was to teach others the things I've commanded you. And here we are. We have the apostles and some of those others that lived in the first century wrote those things down, because we don't have the apostles here today anymore to teach us. But they wrote those things down so that we can still study them and learn them. And here we are. We have this book, this incredible book, written by the One who can discern our thoughts and the intents of our heart, the One who can divide even between the soul and spirit, which is a hard thing to figure out the difference between those two. And yet He's able to do it. He knows the difference. All of that knowledge, all of that wisdom, all of that guidance in one book, we need to study it. And here are some of the reasons why. We need to study the Bible to defend the faith. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." You know, sometimes we aren't really prepared to answer people. That's an interesting thought there. You notice, he doesn't say, be ready to tell people why you don't use instrumental music. Well, we might need to explain that to somebody. But that's not the one he picks. He doesn't say, explain to people why you baptized by immersion for the remission of sins. Now, we need to know that. We need to understand that. But that's not the one Peter chooses. He doesn't say, be able to answer to everybody why you take the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week, and not just the first of the month or once a quarter or something. That's good to know that. But that's not what he chooses. He says, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Do we have hope? We better have hope. Otherwise, we'd be hopeless, I guess. But we've got to have hope as Christians. And if we have hope, there's got to be a reason for that hope. What is the reason for your hope? Do you know? Can you give an answer for that? Well, there are a lot of things in the Bible that we can give answers for, maybe. But why do we have hope? We need to study the Bible to be ready to give an answer for that. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, talking about the church that was established in Berea and the Christians, those that actually became Christians there, says they were more fair-minded. King James says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And we've got a lot of people in this world today who just take the preacher's word for it. But these folks in Berea knew better than that. They knew that preachers sometimes didn't get it right. They knew that sometimes some of those folks who had taught them things in the past maybe taught them something that wasn't true. And so they searched the Scriptures to be sure that what they were being taught was true. And notice, they didn't just search it on Sunday. It says they searched the Scriptures daily. Do we search the Scriptures daily? Do we study every day? Or just on Sundays? We need to be studying God's Word so that we can defend the faith, we can defend our hope and explain why we have hope, and so that we can know whether what we're being taught is true. And that's all part of defending the faith. But then we also need to study the Bible in order to teach others. Now there are a lot of people out there in this world who are lost. And they're lost, all of them, because they're in sin. But there are various different things that they're lacking knowledge in that they need to be taught. Are we ready to teach? Sometimes when we say that, well, teach others, well, you know, I just don't have that gift. I'm just not good at teaching others. I find Hebrews 5:12 a very interesting passage. He's writing not to preachers. He's writing the book of Hebrews to an entire congregation of people, to the whole church. And to the whole church, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Well, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, I just don't know enough to teach, or I'm just not, I can't teach. The Hebrew writer says to each and every one of us, there's a time that you ought to be teachers. You ought to be. It's not just for one person or two or a few, but everyone ought to learn enough and know enough to be able to teach others. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, Paul complimented the church at Thessalonica, even though back in Acts 17 they weren't complimented very much, but here they are. Maybe they've grown. You know, it's possible for all of us to grow, but here in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, he says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." They were spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Others were hearing about it. Notice what he says. You know, Thessalonica was the city. So we might, if we liken that to us, we might say, not just here in Faraday, but he says in Macedonia. Well, we might say in Concordia Parish. All over the whole parish. Are we spreading the word of the Lord? Has it sounded forth from us? And then he says, and Achaia, which was an even bigger region nearby. So we might say, in all of Louisiana, or we might even say in Mississippi, they're hearing about us. And they're hearing what we have to say. And then he goes on to say, in every place. And of course we do that to some degree by supporting things like the Gospel Broadcast Network that broadcasts all over the world and some of those things and the truth and love. To some degree we do that with those things, but we've got to remember, just supporting those others to do that doesn't alleviate us individually of our responsibility to teach others about Jesus. And we may not be expert teachers. We may not be masters. We may not have studied all the techniques to teach somebody else. But I've always heard preachers say, and it ought to be true, that if I know what I did to become a Christian, then I can tell someone else what they need to do to become a Christian, because it's the same. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that sometimes some of us maybe have forgotten those things that we once learned. He talks in Hebrews 5 about the fact that they ought to be able to be teachers, but they need somebody to teach them the first principles again. They've forgotten some of those things that they once knew. And that's the way it is with any kind of knowledge. If you don't continue to grow and continue to develop that knowledge, you will forget some of those things that you once knew. So we've got to keep growing and keep learning to be able to tell others also. And the third thing we want to notice is that we need to study the Bible to edify ourselves. To edify yourself. Now, I know we need to help others, sure. But what good does it do us if we save the whole world and lose our own soul? We've got to build ourselves up in the faith. We've got to grow individually. And again, this is one of the reasons that each individual needs to study on their own. We have, 50 or more people here this morning, perhaps. There's no way that one lesson that lasts 30 minutes on one day of the week can address all of the things that each individual needs to know to help them in their lives this week. There's no way that can happen. Just like after services today, I imagine most all of us will go home and eat a meal. But that one meal will not be enough to take care of all of our needs for the rest of the week. We'll eat more meals. This isn't enough. Just this one spiritual helping of food for our souls is not enough. One time a week's not going to do it. We can't grow and be healthy in that way. We've got to edify ourselves. And no one else knows more than you do what things you need to study. I can try to preach a lesson and teach a lesson that will help all of us in some way or another. But it's not going to touch on every individual need that's out there. Because I don't know everything that's going on. And even if I did, that lesson would have to last several hours. And most of you don't want to sit here that long, I'm sure. But we've got to do some of that study ourselves. We've got to learn, as we grow as Christians, how to feed ourselves, just like a baby, as it grows, has to learn at some point to feed itself. Ephesians 4:11-15 says He gave Himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ. So yes, He sets preachers, teachers, elders, evangelists. He has those positions that people fill within the church as part of the process of helping to equip the saints, the whole congregation, to do the work of ministry that they need to do. But one person, two people, five people can't do it all. It has to take an effort on everyone's part. In Ephesians 4:29, He says of the things that we're to speak, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Are we building others up with the things that we say and do? Are we building ourselves up with the things that we say and do? We need to edify ourselves, and we need to edify the church as well. But we need to study the Bible to obey God. Sometimes we think that, well, I've become a Christian, I obeyed God, now I'm okay. We've got to continue obeying God. Obedience to God is not a one-time event. So many times we think because baptism is a one-time event, that one-time event's what Christianity is all about. No, that's just birth. That's just the beginning of the process. Now you've got a whole life to live, and the entire life of a Christian is full of things that have to be done over and over, new things that have to be added, new things that have to be learned as we grow. Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You know, in the book of Acts, there were some scoundrels named called the seven sons of a man named Sceva. They went out around casting out demons in Jesus' name, until one of those demons figured out they didn't know who Jesus was. And the demons that inhabited that man jumped on him and beat up all seven of them. You see, just because somebody claims the name of Christ doesn't mean that they know what He wants them to do. Doesn't mean they're being obedient to Him. We've got to go all out to obey Him. Well, how are we going to obey Him if we don't know what He said to do? We've got to study His Word to learn that. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." So He says, you know, once you were saved, keep going. Keep loving the brethren. Don't stop with one time. Well, I loved that person once, and that was enough. I don't ever want to love them again. I'm not going to be nice to them anymore. I did it one time. So Christianity is all about doing it again and again. But the Bible warns us not to grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes doing the same thing over and over again can get tiresome. Sometimes we think that way about church. I got to go to church again this Sunday. I'm telling you, we go every Sunday. We sing songs. And every Sunday we sing. We have prayers. And every Sunday we take the Lord's Day. Every Sunday we hear something. We're doing the same thing over and over again. Sometimes God wants us to do the same thing over and over again because He enjoys it. Because that's what He wants. Doesn't have anything to do with whether we like it or not. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to serve Him and please Him. But then we also need to study the Bible in order to fight Satan. How did Jesus, in Matthew 4:1-11, how did He combat Satan's temptations? Every time, what did He do? He quoted Scripture. Every time, He came back with what the Bible said. How can we face temptation and overcome it if we don't know what the Bible says? If we don't even know what the Bible says, we may not even recognize temptation when it approaches us. We may not even know that a particular thing is a sin. And we may be involved in a sin and not even realize it because we didn't study enough to even recognize Satan's ploys. Not even enough to know the difference between right and wrong. Ephesians 6:10-17 tells us how we need to put on the whole armor of God. He talks about the sword of the Spirit. That's our weapon. That's the Word of God. The Word of God is the Spirit's sword that it uses, that the Spirit uses through us to defeat Satan. But we've got to use that Word of God to do it. A sword's a dangerous thing. If you don't know how to handle that thing, you can hurt yourself. And some people have just enough Bible knowledge to be dangerous. They go wielding it everywhere, whacking heads off here and there of everybody around them, and cutting themselves up in the process too, but they never kill the devil. We've got to learn to use the sword the right way. It's a weapon. And we've got to have that shield of faith in order to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, how do we have a shield of faith? Where does faith come from? Romans tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's where it comes from. Of course, we've got to study the Bible to know Jesus better. Oh, I know we heard about Him, and that's why we obeyed the gospel to begin with, because Jesus died for us. But is that enough to know about Him? Is it enough to just know that Jesus is the Son of God who died for me? That He's the Christ, the Messiah, my Savior? Is that all I need to know about Him? And as a Christian, I want to grow closer to Him. I want to get to know Him even better. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's important for us to know that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is God. And yes, that's important, but that's not enough. That is not knowing Him. 1 John 2:4 says, "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him." We need to think about that. If we say, I know Jesus. He's my Savior. He won't be our Savior unless He's also our Lord and King, unless He's also our Master and our God. Remember Thomas, when he finally saw Jesus resurrected, he fell down at His feet and worshipped Him, and he said, "My Lord and my God." That's what Jesus needs us to say. But in order to say that, we've got to live something to back that saying up. How can you say, "I know Him," and then not keep His commandments? So if we do that, we're liars. The truth's not in us if we do that. We've got to do what He's taught us to do. Well, how are we going to know His commandments? We've got to study that Bible some more. That's where His commandments are. We've got to study the New Testament and learn those commandments. And the more of His commandments we learn, the more of Him we learn, the better we know Him. But then we've got to study in order to be a disciple of Jesus. John 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, then you are My disciples indeed." If you abide in My Word. How are we going to abide in His Word if we never read it and don't know what it says? What thoughts do we have in our minds? When something happens, do we think of something we heard in a song, something we heard on TV, something we read in a magazine, or does a Scripture come to mind? Which is it? Reminded of the farmer. Had a big farm, and he was a Christian fellow. It was reputed that everything that happened, he had a Scripture for it. And so one day, they were out, and they saw some weeds growing in the wheat field, and said, "What are you going to say about that? There's weeds in the wheat field." He said, "Let the tares and the wheat grow together until the harvest time." They went on a little further, and they found a couple of his cows had died. They said, "Well, what do you got to say about that?" He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." They came back to the house and found that his faithful old cook, who had been his cook for 60 years, had fallen dead while cooking lunch and had fallen on the stove and was just burnt to a crisp. And they said, "Well, what do you have to say about that?" And he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, the point is, though, do we think of Scripture when things happen in our lives, or do we think of something else? You see, if the Word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, then when we have something happen in our lives, that's what's going to come to mind. It may be something that will be comforting to us. It may be something that will be a warning to us if we're in a tempting situation. It may be something that points out our guilt if we're in sin. It may be something that admonishes us to do something when we have a situation where we need to do something. But that thought is going to come to our mind if we've been studying His Word and it's dwelling in us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus again begged them, "Come to Me, learn from Me." That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, is to learn from Him. We cannot say that we are disciples of Jesus if we're not learning from Him. And the only way to learn from Him is to study His Word. A lot of times, we as Christians spend a lot of time in prayer, and prayer can be a good thing. But there's a time when we need to stop praying and start studying. One preacher I heard recently said, as Christians, if we would spend more time studying God's Word, we wouldn't need to spend as much time praying, because half the time we're praying about things that God's already told us. And if we'd have just read His Word, we wouldn't need to pray about it. We'd already know. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes we spend more time talking to Him and don't ever let Him talk to us. Kind of a one-sided conversation. And a little arrogant on our parts to think that He ought to listen to us all the time when we never listen to Him. It's a little selfish. But then finally this morning, we want to look at the fact that we need to study to have eternal life. John 6:68, many that were following Jesus had turned away from following Him and had left Him because they didn't like some of the things He taught. And so He asked the disciples, "Are you going to go away as well?" And Peter Bless his heart. Peter always had something to say. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it wasn't. In this case, he said something pretty smart. Peter answered him and he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You see, the words of eternal life are right here in this book. But we will never know what they are if we don't study them. James 1:21 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." We need to examine our lives this morning and ask ourselves, am I studying the Bible enough to defend the faith? Am I studying the Bible enough to teach others? Am I studying the Bible enough to edify myself? Am I studying the Bible enough to obey God? Not just in some things, but in everything. Am I studying the Bible enough to fight Satan and his temptations? Am I studying the Bible enough to know God and Jesus better than I have in the past? Am I studying the Bible enough to be a disciple? And am I studying the Bible enough to have eternal life? If you answered no to any of those, what are you doing about it? We have Bible classes Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but that just barely scratches the surface. We've got a library with some study books in it. We've got audio sermons on the internet all over the place. There's things like GBN on the internet that you can go to and watch all kinds of things to study. What are you doing? Are you reading your Bible regularly? Are you studying it? Are you prepared to face God with the knowledge you have now? Or should you have more knowledge by now? Should you be further along in your growth than you are? If so, it's not too late to start catching up. It's not too late to start studying and growing more than you have. I want to encourage you this morning. If you are not a Christian, but you have enough Bible knowledge to know that you need to believe in Jesus Christ, that you need to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Christ, and if you know the Bible teaches you that you need to be baptized to wash your sins away, just like Saul was before he could become the Apostle Paul, then you have enough knowledge to save your soul if you'll obey. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you haven't been studying and learning and growing as you should, make a decision today that you're going to do something about that. Don't let another day go by knowing that you are spiritually malnourished. Fix it. Start eating more regularly of the spiritual food and the living water that Jesus has for us in His Word. If you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing.